Isaiah 42. Let us look some more at the servant of the Lord from chapter 49, but there is so much in 42 like 49, I have to read from both of them. I gave ever so much introductory material last week. I can't repeat. If you weren't here, someone can tell you about it. Just follow me as best you can. But the Lord Jesus is presented in the greatest variety of ways throughout the book of Isaiah. But starting at chapter 42 and in four other portions, combining 52 and 3, he is presented as the servant of the Lord. And this is what it says in verse 1 of chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Verse 4. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he had set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them forth, he that spread abroad the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of people, for a light of Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoner from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, and so forth. Now, let's turn to chapter 49. Verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and he hath made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he kept me close, and he said unto me, Thou art my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and vanity. Yet surely the justice to me is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered unto him. For I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God is become my strength. Yea, he saith, it is too light a thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserves of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see thee and arise, princes, and they shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, even the Holy One of Israel, who hath chosen thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I answered thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of people to raise up the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to them that are bound, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and on all their heights shall be their pasture, and so forth, and so forth. Verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children make haste, and so forth, and so forth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, again we praise Thee for all that Thou dost tell us about Thy Son, things that we would never think were of importance. But having read them in Thy Word, we marvel that Thou dost tell us all these lowly things about Thy Son. How plain, how human are these things spoken about Thy Son, and Thou wouldst have it so. And we pray that we may understand just why they are contained in Thy Word, and that we shall learn from them. And so illumine us by Thy Spirit, and exalt Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and prepare the hearts of those who are here to receive the truth, and the lips of Him to speak the truth. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Now, unless you are exceptionally keen, you have not been able to grasp just what I've told you and put it together in a logical way. But all of it in chapter 42 and 49 is about the Lord Jesus and what He is going to do for people, His own people, and then all creation. That is the subject. The Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord, and then what His service to the Lord and to mankind shall be. But it is stated in a threefold way. First of all, God is telling all who have ears and eyes to read about His Son. God Himself is describing to men just how His Son shall come upon the scene, in what form, in what guise, and in what manner He shall operate. Look at verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delighteth, I put my Spirit upon him. God is speaking in general to all who will hear. But now look at verse 5 in chapter 42. Thus saith the Lord God, He that created the heavens and stretched them forth, and so forth and so on. Verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee. The same person is speaking, but this time he is not speaking indirectly and generally about his Son, but he is speaking directly to the Son, the Lord Jesus. Look again at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand. What he has told people about the Lord Jesus, starting in verse 1, now in verse 6, he announces his greatness, and then in his greatness, he speaks personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, look over at chapter 49. I want to get this set aside at first. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Now do you see who's talking? The one who is the subject of all these prophecies. It is the servant himself. And so every time, the content of what I've read is the servant and his service. But at first, God speaks to all. He speaks to man. And then he speaks to the Son, And what he has spoken to men and to the Son himself relates in chapter 49. He reveals to us his awareness, his acceptance of this call of God. Now, he did it. If you have read in the New Testament, you have heard how what God prophesied of him in the Old Testament was understood. The Lord Jesus was aware of every prophecy that God spoke of him in the Old Testament, and he saw to it, if it were in his power, to fulfill it. He could not see to it that he would be laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He could not see certain things. That's why he had to say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But when he knew that he had to be given vinegar to drink, he said, I thirst. All of these things he knew, and he was aware. And so, as God had prophesied in chapter 61, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, opened the book of Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so forth. He said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You see what God has done? God foretells it. The Son comprehends it, accepts it, and then the Son himself speaks these words. And so the Father speaks the words. The Father speaks the words to the Son. The Son comprehends the words, and then the Son himself speaks to men the very words that the Father has spoken unto him. And in chapter 42, it says this. It says, he shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And in verse 4 of chapter 42, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he have set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And the first thing he says in chapter 49 is, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. The Lord Jesus is aware of the mission that God has given him. So many people go through life unaware of what God wants them to do. What is the Lord going to do in me, and what is God going to do with me? The Lord Jesus never was in any uncertainty about that matter. He knew everything about his birth, and that is the marvel. I spoke in the prayer about the human thing of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the plainest of language. And it shows two things. It shows a combination of the miraculous and of the natural. Because it says in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive and be with child and bring forth a son. And then the Lord Jesus speaks about from his mother's womb, from the bowels of his mother. It is showing us the reality of the incarnation. This is what John says in his first epistle. The Antichrist is he who denieth that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. Could it be any plainer? He speaks about from the bowels of his mother, from his mother's womb. Nothing could be plainer. The Lord Jesus was miraculously conceived, but having been conceived, the Lord Jesus had a full term in his mother's womb, and he was brought forth. And this is pointed out again and again in the book of Isaiah. And you look at it and you say, there is so much supernatural about him. Yes, but there is so much natural as well, because he is both divine and human, and God at times will speak of his divinity and at times speak of his humanity with no explanation. And you simply have to be aware that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and you have to accept them and interpret them in the light of that holy thing which was begotten of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is the way that God set him before us. And so, we see him in the Old Testament, and though we are unable to comprehend him, God has foretold how he was going to be, and how he was going to come into existence, and how he was going to live when he was upon the earth. Please notice that. The Lord Jesus acknowledges that he as Jesus is formed. Do not deny that. The eternal Word never had a beginning, but Jesus had a beginning. It says in Isaiah, a body hast thou formed me, and the Lord Jesus says that God is he who formed him from his mother's womb. He speaks of that, that God made him, formed him, and so he acknowledges that. While the Lord Jesus can say, before Abraham was, I am. He can speak also about a body being prepared him. He knows all those things. He's ready to confess his humanity. In fact, one of the marvels about John chapter 8 is this. He says, before Abraham was, I am. You say, that deity, that's a confession of being the eternal God. But before he said that, he said, I am a man who told you all the truth. And so you are hopelessly shut up to accepting the Lord Jesus in his incomprehensibility, and you simply have to accept him as God manifest in the flesh. No man knoweth the Son save the Father, and what you understand about him has to be revealed to you. But some that grow are able to understand about him. But in this portion, we read about the coming into existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a marvel. While we know that the Lord Jesus was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, we are left in no doubt in chapter 42 when he says in verse 1, he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Nobody can mention that, can miss that. Verse 4 of chapter 42, it says, he shall set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. You say, what does it mean, the isles shall wait for his law? Turn to chapter 49 and look at verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. Now, there's no doubt, when God speaks of peoples, it is the nations of the world, not person here and a person there and a person there, but nations are spoken of as peoples, and when it says this, and it's in the plural, the King James does not put it in the plural, but here in the 1901 it is, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. The Lord Jesus is giving the message not to Israel, but to the Gentiles. And in Matthew chapter 12, this is the beauty of having the interpretation of the Word of God given to you. Verse 4 of chapter 42 is interpreted for us when it says, the isles shall wait for his law. Matthew 12 tells us, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And so these are Gentile isles, and they are not Gentiles that are close at hand in the land of Palestine. But, as the commission was, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, listen, O isles, and ye peoples from far. And so his salvation is not to the lost sheep of the house of Israel alone. In fact, Isaiah is full of his ministry to the Gentiles. And I told you last week, and I cannot go over it again, but the covenant and the light are to both Gentile and Jew. And the light and the covenant are reversed in chapter 49. But both times, he is a covenant of people and a light to Gentiles. And perhaps at a later date, I'll be able to tell you more about that covenant. But both of them are together. They are inseparable. And let me tell you this. While we were strangers from the covenant of the promise, do you realize that the covenant that was made with Abraham stated this, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. The Abrahamic covenant contains in it the promise that in Abraham shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God, having foretold that, now is prophesying it, is speaking it himself. And then his Son is proclaiming it. And it says, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And it says, the isles, that is the Gentiles afar off, shall wait for his law. They are waiting. Now there was a time. There are certain eras and there are certain periods in which Jesus Christ comes and he labors among certain people. And he came first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is why I read to you in Acts chapter 26. He says, unto you first hath God sent his son. Why? Because it's to the Jew first. He told you that. God blessed Abraham, but in Abraham and in his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And this is what God is telling us. And Isaiah is full of it. The blessings that come upon the Gentiles. And now there is supposed to be in the heart of the Gentiles that hope and that trust and that waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says in verse 4. Now, I've told you that in some ways the Lord Jesus Christ is like the creature. And in some ways it says, as in Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he in like manner partook of the same. It behooved him to be made to become in all things like unto his brethren. And the Lord Jesus Christ experienced all of these things, sin apart. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet there was a uniting with these sinners, and the Lord Jesus had these experiences. And he, while visiting people that are like unto bruised reeds and dimly burning wicks, the Hebrew says this, and I must tell you. It says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. The same root words that are translated, a bruised reed and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. It says, he will not be like that. He feels discouragement, but he never gets to the place that he's good for nothing but to be quenched. Nothing but to be broken. He felt discouragement, but he was never discouraged. And it says, he did not have the experience that you and I did. He felt hunger, but he never gave in. He felt fatigue and weariness, but he never gave into it. Do you remember how Peter, James, and John, having been told, watch, pray that you enter not into temptation, it says, they slept. And the Lord Jesus was praying and sweating as it were great drops of blood while they were sleeping. The Lord Jesus felt fatigued, but he never slept when he was supposed to pray. And so while like man, in the experiences that he had, in the emotions that he had, his emotions were pure and his temptations were severe, but he never failed. He himself never was likened unto a bruised reed and a dimly burning flax to the point where God says, you are no more good to me. You need someone to come. The Lord Jesus had similar experiences, but he did not find himself reduced to this level. I wanted to let you know that. And then it says, the isles shall wait for his law. This is in the coming day. And he's going to set justice in the truth. That justice, establish justice in truth. It's interpreted for us in Matthew 12. He shall send forth victory, truth in victory, and so truth shall succeed. All right. Having told you that, the Lord Jesus starts telling us these things in chapter 49, and so let's look there just for a moment. In chapter 49, there are other things in chapter 42, but I cannot tell you now. But in chapter 49, I have told you that the Father himself has experienced disappointment. The Lord Jesus himself has experienced disappointment and he has felt depression and dejection. He has felt all of these things. And over here, look in chapter 49, verse 14. It says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and the Lord hath forgotten me. And this is God's reply to them. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. And so do you see how the Father, you will find this in chapter 5, that he looked for grapes, but sour grapes came forth. He looked for equity, but there came forth iniquity. God has disappointment, and the Lord Jesus has disappointment, but God does not give up, and Christ does not give up. And so in like manner, Zion has given up. This is what they say in chapter 49. The Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. And then God comes back and says, can a woman forget her sucking child? And then we found in the book of Kings that in a time of famine, yes, they were forgotten. They were eating their own children. God says, it's possible. He said, but I will never forget thee. And that is why in chapter 49, two things are spoken of for this servant to accomplish. So look in chapter 49 at these two things, and they are distinct. In verse 5 of chapter 49, and now saith the Lord that formed me. You see, the Lord Jesus is telling you that the Lord formed him. He's claiming and confessing humanity. He is true man. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered unto him. You see? Here is a special work for the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a special work for the nation of Israel. You'll find that God made promise in that Abrahamic covenant. And now God is saying again some of the things that are to be done in that Abrahamic covenant. It says that God formed him in the womb for this specific purpose. He told Pilate, he said, for this cause am I come into the world. And now he's telling us again, prophetically in Isaiah 49, he formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered unto him. Now look at verse 6. Yea, he said, it is too light a thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel. This is a function of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you must understand two things are spoken of. It speaks about a covenant and a light. It speaks of Gentiles and it speaks of the people of God, Jews and Gentiles. But then it reverses them, and then it speaks of the light to the Gentiles and what Christ is going to do to the Jews. You never find in a consistent order the work that Jesus Christ was to do. Now we know that he was to come to the Jews. They were to reject him. And then he was to be a light to the Gentiles. And in the future, what I was reading to you, as it says in verse 6, look at it once more. It is too light a thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. A twofold work, not one, not putting them all together and that is the end, because you read in this church age that there is no Jew or Gentile, no male or female. You think that the work of Christ was one, but his work is twofold. There is a distinct work for the nation of Israel, spoken of as Jacob and Israel, the people of God, and there is a special work for the Gentiles. And this work for the Gentiles is continuing right now. But the work that ultimately shall be accomplished, if the Lord Jesus is not going to fail, if he is not going to cease until he has set justice in the earth, then this has to be accomplished. And I want you to notice these words very carefully in chapter 49, verse 6. It is too light a thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel. Peter is speaking in Acts chapter 3 to the Israelites, and it says, whom the heaven must reserve. He must stay in heaven until the time of the restoration of all things be accomplished. Here it is, the restoration of all things. And this restoration is spoken of also in Matthew 19. It said, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And here is what the Lord Jesus was formed in the womb for, to raise up the preserved of Israel, to restore the tribe of Jacob. Reverse that. This is what he is to do. And so he is speaking here of the restoration of the nation of Israel. But that is in the coming day. When Zechariah says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. But Christ's work is not completed. And until that time, do you see that Israel has completely given up? It says in verse 14, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. And this is what Paul says, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. And it says, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, that a blindness in part hath befallen Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and then that work for which Jesus Christ was formed for the womb shall be accomplished, so all Israel shall be saved. God hasn't forgotten it. And those who would set aside Israel and God's promises to Israel and have them fulfilled in the church do an injustice to the promises of God and do an injustice to the interpretation of the Word of God, because he speaks of Jacob and Israel and he speaks of Gentiles. He speaks of two things that he's going to do for them. And God speaks of a time. He says it's a mystery, and it's a mystery that is in part until. And so it is a period of time. It's going on until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. All right. Now I want you to see this. In chapter 49, verse 7, you must see this. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him. God is speaking to him again, the servant. Listen again. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Notice, this is the one to whom God is speaking, and he's looked at in a twofold way. Keep that in mind a moment. Notice, it says that he is despised, that he is abhorred, that he is a servant of rulers. Keep that in mind. Now turn back to chapter 42. You must see this. In chapter 42, it says, I will quote it to you. It's easier that than to find it. The Lord Jesus, in speaking of these things, says, I am honorable. Yes, chapter 49, look at it. I am honorable in his eyes. Look down at verse 5. And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered unto him. For I am honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and my God is become my strength. Notice, the Lord Jesus knows that he's honorable in the eyes of the Lord, and his God has become his strength. Now, keeping that in mind, look over in chapter 49 as to how people look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that verse again in verse 7. The Holy One of Israel says, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. And in part, it is the Lord Jesus Christ now, and this shall continue until, notice, it says, kings shall arise, they shall see, princes, and they shall worship, because the Lord that is faithful, even the Holy One of Israel, who hath chosen thee. And so this is Christ now, despised, rejected of men, a servant of kings. But God says this, he who is honorable in the eyes of the Lord, he whom God holds up and strengthens, it says this, in a coming day, it says that kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall worship. And so this is what is going to happen in a coming day. And I shan't read the whole thing, but I want you to look at it one moment. Turn to Psalm 72, because Psalm 72 is an embellishment of what I just read you in chapter 49. Now look at Psalm 42. I want to read some words to you. Just a few words to you from Psalm 72. It says there, verse 2, He will judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the hills in righteousness. He will judge the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy. He will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee while the sun endureth and so long as the moon throughout all generations. And look down at verse 8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Verse 10. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall render tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And then it goes on in verse 17, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him happy or blessed. Verse 19, And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. What more could he say? Jesus shall reign. It is but a matter of time. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that though Christ is rejected, though now our lives are hid with Christ in God, we would have it that way. We know that the world can show us all its kingdom, all its glory now. Through our physical senses, we would reject those things now. We would wait patiently for the Son to come into his glory. Our Father, we wait for that day when he shall reign from sea to sea, when kings and princes shall fall down before him and worship him, when he shall accomplish all the things that thou didst give him as the servant to accomplish, and we are included in that coming day. We thank you, Father, and we worship him now, and we acknowledge him as King of kings and Lord of lords, and we pray, hasten the day. Come, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.